podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, here we go, it's the Cobbite Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to another Cobbite Podcast, and we're a bit later than usual. We're usually the instant match reaction, but we've been a bit busy flying around the country, and Jay's been busy in the kitchen making me some steaks and whatever, so we thought we'd do it now, and yeah, have a little chat about yesterday's boss, an actual boss win, a 3-0 away win at Carrow Road, and three of the front four scored as well, Jota, Bobby and Salah, so it was a good day all round. But before we get stuck into it, I just want to ask you how you felt before the game, Jade, like in terms of like team news, and I mean, what was your general feeling going into it? Was you excited? And then once you seen the team news, did that kind of be, was that escalated, or were you a bit disappointed with the starting 11? Or
well, it's different for me a little bit, mate, because I've said this to you many times the last couple of weeks that I just wasn't excited for the season. I just don't know what it was. Just it hadn't got me. But when I saw the lineup and I was like, do you know what, I'm buzzing now. Not because of the team, obviously. There was a little bit of like eyebrow raising, shall we say, especially when we looked at that midfield. Because obviously Fabinho, but we sort of had an inkling that Fabinho, the longer the day went on, that he might not make it because of he's not had a full pre-season, which again is fair enough. So yeah, I was buzzing for it, but I still think that it was a team that was good enough to beat Norwich, so I was still confident of getting the 3 points.
Yeah, I think that was the thing when, I mean, Matt and Tim were on the preview show and we were talking about like, is Van Dijk going to start? And I wasn't convinced at all. I just thought that with Klopp's comments about that they're ready, but he was not prepared to make a substitution in that area in game. I just thought, I just couldn't see it. But the fact that he did, I think it was a surprise, but it was a nice surprise, weren't it? And the fact that he played the 90 as well was massive for us and for him.
Yeah, regardless of the result, whether we'd lost that game or not, if Van Dijk had got a full 90 out of it, everyone would just be like, oh my God, that's amazing. Because I'm telling you now, if there had been a part of it where he did 45, they'd be like, oh shit, he's not right. Or if he did 55 to 60, there'd be a point of, oh, he can't get past 60 minutes, what's going on? And then there'd be panic station settling in. Yeah. But the fact that he got a 90 now is, for me, I don't have to worry about Van Dijk for the rest of the year now.
Yeah, I think he did do really well, didn't he? There was obviously a couple of times where he's not quite at that level where he was, but it's unfair to even expect that, isn't it? I mean, those long raking passes were there, and it was just nice to see him back in the starting level.
It was. He still won three aerial duels. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, he's still winning balls. I mean, the Norwich don't play that type of football in terms of just throwing the ball up in the air for him to do that. But he still won three. I mean, I think there's only Mane that had won more of that. Do you know what I mean? So, and obviously Mane comes from a forward line. So it's one of them things where, defensively wise, he's done his job because Joel Matip won two aerial duels as well. So it's one of them where you just think, right, Matip and Van Dijk are back together again. And it was so nice to see. And just on Matip as well, I know you were buzzing off him, wasn't you? You were texting and just saying like how good it was to see him back. When he's fit and he's playing, he's one of the best in the league.
He is. He really is. And I mean, I put a tweet up today and there was a few eye-raised replies to it, which I did reply to cheekily, which I probably shouldn't have, but I did. And I think what I was getting at really was that, like you just said, when he's on form and when his body allows it, he's one of the best. I wasn't saying that it was like the best performance ever. There was times where Norwich did get in behind, and if Matip and Van Dijk were 100% or maybe fully, on song like they have been in previous years, then maybe that doesn't happen. But it was just really good to see those two back together, and that partnership which has done so well for us, and having Gomez and Konate on the bench is just a cheat code, isn't it? Just having that many good players in that area. But in terms of the midfield, then obviously you said like it wasn't really a surprise when you went in hindsight when you look back at it that Fabinho didn't play, but Milly started in like CDM, and then there was Keita and Ox on either side of him, which is you wouldn't have ever thought that, would you? Maybe like 6 weeks ago that Ox and Keita both start.
It's true, mate. First of all, I'm going to take it out. I just love it when you break it down and you go CDM. I just love it. Oh. Lightning striking. I love it when you say CDM. It doesn't have to make me laugh. But yeah,
that's,
you know, you're right.
The FIFA in me, probably.
It's a champ manager in it. Let's go champ.
Yeah.
You're right, mate. It was eyebrow raising, but I understood it. I understood why Millie started, because it was just giving us that. If Fabinho can't play, then it gives us that little bit of grit in midfield, especially because Hendo wasn't playing. So I understood it. Again, the Keita thing, I understood, because he was very, very good in pre-season, and we'd all saw this side of Keita where we were like, oh, this is the Keita we bought. It's that whole saga of this is the £50 million player, this and that. But, you know, Keita, you know, out of the 17 tackles that we had in that game, Keita won 6 of them. So again, it's one of them things where you think, right, well, Keita was playing very, very well. He'd done well. He'd justified his position. Ox didn't. I'll be honest. I was very disappointed in his performance. I thought, again, that was another opportunity for him where he wants to play in midfield, and he didn't really do it. And Harvey Elliott came on to replace him, and then he did more in that time than Ox did in the time he was on the pitch. So, yes, that was a bit disappointing. But again, that midfield was good enough to beat Norwich and control the game. Albeit, yeah, they did get at us a couple of times, so we were missing the likes of Hendo, we were missing the Fabinho side of things. But I think off balance, with the way Keita played, you know, it didn't cause us that too many problems. And I think it was only when fatigue set in where Norwich really did start getting like chance after chance, and that was only in the final third. But by that time, the game was won anyway.
Yeah.
I've done myself for that analysis then, mate. I love that bit.
Oh, no, these stats as well. You might have to do episode 2 of stat show, yeah, because I'm fucking lacking on that department as well. But yeah, I think in terms of like the sides of a three in midfield, I think we know that those positions are quite, you've got to be structured. Like Gini Wijnaldum done it for years and done it to a T and was the best in the game at it. Kind of letting Robbo bomb on. And I think you've got to, like Keita was on the left, wasn't he? Ox was on the right. You can't really be bombing on that much. I mean, you can, but you've got to have adequate cover and make sure that you know the people around you. And I don't think that midfield three are probably at the stage where they can fully trust each other, maybe in terms of knowing where they're going to be. Obviously, it's all fine and well doing it on training field, but doing it in a Premier League match away from home in the first game of the season with fans in the stadium, it was always going to be difficult to show that. But I thought Keita done really well. Like you said, getting stuck in, kept it nice and simple, kept us ticking over. A willing runner, I thought he'd done really well. Like I said, with Ox, yeah, maybe not his best game, but I think he's shown in pre-season, hasn't he, he's very sharp. And then Harvey Elliott coming off the bench was just the icing on the cake, really. But I think Norwich did do quite well, didn't he? I think, like you said, they were quite tardy at the back, and they would, like, those little triangle passes that they
kept
were
the
doing
ball well.
The keeper kept it really well, and I was like, wow, these are doing pretty well here, to be fair. But it took, I think it was like 25 minutes that we got that first goal, and it was from one of their attacks where Van Dijk, the Norwich fans were screaming for a foul on Pukki, which it literally weren't. He fell over. And then we kind of just struck from there. And a good ball by Trent into Salah. Probably a bit of fortune with the Salah touch going to Jota. But he was there. And that's what you want. You want that Jota the slotter in the right position. And he's just, it was a great finish, wasn't it?
It was, mate. And again, you know, Salah was definitely taking that touch to put it around the defender to take it for himself, which I love about Salah. I love those sorts of things. But again, you know, there's that selfishness from Jota he knows he wants to be that man who wants to start games, and he justified, you know, the start because he bagged himself a goal. And he was playing in that middle where we've sort of wanted him to play. Yes, he's more of that left-handed sided wide player to come in and score goals and make those runs, but he's proved he can play in the middle in the absence of Bobby. And we do need that sort of, you know, just biting a chance in the box striker. So a Torres, you know, an Owen, that those types of people, a Fowler type play, you know, the ones that are just going to,
too early.
Where's my plug? I need Tim's plug. We need what those types, we're screaming for that. I think everybody wants us to sign somebody like that. And again, I agree with him. I'm not going to deny that. I still think we need a goal scorer in that. But again, very pleased that Jota got one. And then, we'll talk about the other goals anyway. But yeah, great finish from Jota, and pleased that he got the goal.
Yeah, I think it was just that instinct, isn't it? Which he has got. I mean, Pep Linders, every time you see like a Pep Linders diary or he does an interview, he's always raving about Jota, isn't he? Like very, quite vociferously. Like he's always saying Jota has got like all the tools to be one of the best. And I think because he's only 24 still, it's crazy like how good he could be really in a couple more years time when he's maybe adapted a little bit more to our style and whatever else. But yeah, that was, I mean, going into half time 1-0, that was nice. Obviously, we had scored on 25 minutes, then we had another 20 minutes to kind of see if we could get another. It didn't happen, but get 1-0 at half time in the first game of the season away, with, like I said, with fans in, was nice. And we all probably knew it wasn't going to be long until the cavalry was brought on, Fabinho and Bobby. They both came on at 60, but like, I think it was Chris Kelly in the comments on the preview said like Options FC or something. And it was definitely Options FC when you can bring on Bobby and Fabinho on 60 minutes, innit?
Oh, yeah. I said that to the lads when I was watching it. I was like, that's a really nice substitution to have rather than trying to scrape the barrel, trying to find somebody to bring on. And when you, the fella you bring off who's your goal scorer, and you bring on another fella who scores another goal, you're like, it's the perfect substitution, is it? You know, you try that yourself when you're growing up playing Championship Manager 2000, 2001. You're bringing on Robbie Fowler after taking off Michael Owen and vice versa, and if one scored and the other one scores, you're fucking laughing. You think yourself, I'm a fucking genius, and Klopp must be thinking that and thinking, yeah, I made the right choice in starting Jota because he's come on. But then Bobby's turned around and gone, well, do you know what, Klopp? I'm still fucking good enough in this team to start games. Yes, I've been at the Cop America, so thanks for not giving me the full 90, but I'm still going to bag myself a goal anyway. I'm fucking fair play to him as well, because that's going to do his confidence a world of good, because the one thing that everybody else, not Liverpool supporters, every other fucking fan base questions Firmino because of his lack of goals, but that will do him fucking no harm.
Yeah, I mean, I think I did say this on the preview show as well. Like, I'm getting to the point where I'm thinking, I don't think it's like completely fair to compare a Firmino to a likes of a proper number nine, because he's not usually in those positions. Like, I'm hoping we'll see that more this season, and he can get to the levels of the 17-18 season where he got like in the 20s. That would be fucking, I'd love that if he did that again.
Yeah,
but he just looked sharp, didn't he? Like, he looked sharp in the preseason games, and he looked sharp in the game, and obviously it only took him 4 minutes and he bagged, so that was class. That was just a boss moment for him to get down. You could see the relief on his face when it went in. But before we get on any further, let's have a little look through these comments, because we've got quite a few. We'll say hello to Yuki. We'll say hello to David. We've got John Moore in the comments saying, you're not going to see the best of Van Dijk before Christmas. I think just having him in the team helped everyone feel more comfortable.
Spot on, John.
100%. Yuki.
And also, as well, I'm seeing John quite a lot in our streams as well. So, John, thank you very much for coming back and watching us, mate. Appreciate it. Go on. Sorry, mate. Carry on.
Legend.
What did Yuki say?
Yuki just said, so nice to have Virgil and Matip back together. John's in again with, if you think of the players we still have to come into the team, and if Naby can stay fit, what a team we have. You need to stop talking sense there, John. That's too much sense for maybe not for YouTube, but for Twitter, definitely. But yeah. Dan's just put a comment in there. I know you've just replied to it in the comments, but he's just put, Jay, do you think the lack of excitement came from the cry arsenal in the fan base and media ruling us out? Personally, that's excited me even more.
Yeah, no, I know I've just replied in the comments, mate. I didn't know if you wanted to bring it up because we'd only just covered the second goal. We're not just discussed the third one, but I might as well just address Dan's comment now. And yeah, it was. I wasn't excited for the season at all. Just basically since January, the amount of, you know, doing the podcast and doing, you know, the three shows for each game, and it's every 3 days. And because we weren't doing very well, that wasn't getting me down. The fact that doing that, I mean, obviously it will get me down because you want to see Liverpool winning games, but I couldn't stand the amount of negativity surrounding the club and having a go at every single player and having a go at the owners and some people having a go at Klopp. And it just snowballed into this, and it's still there now because of the transfer window hasn't shut yet and people haven't shut the fuck up about stuff. The fact that we haven't signed this person, we're not signed that person. It's people who don't understand the way the club works, the way money works. They just think it's a, you know, they think it's Chandler from Friends when he goes up to Monica and says, when did you start crapping money? You know what I mean? It just doesn't exist. So when I see that all the time, Dan, it just really gets me down. I just thought, you know what? Because I do this podcast all the time and I've got to be on Twitter to see what's going on and what people are talking about, I just thought, I can't be asked. I really can't, because it was fucking depressing me and I don't want to be depressed watching Liverpool. But it went out the window when we won 3-0 anyway. So, but Dan, you've got a very, very good point, mate. And honestly, if that's made Dan more excited, then I need to be more like Dan in that way. I need to be saying, do you know what? We're fucking 1-3-0 without signing these extra players and we've still got a fucking great, great team without signing these players, and our best 11 still hasn't played together. because Thiago hasn't been, he's in our back 11 and that still hasn't played together. It's so fucking exciting, and Dan's absolutely spot on. I need to stop being a miserable bastard. That's what I need to be.
I tend to agree with you, because it's when you, like you said, you do these shows, you've got to be on Twitter and everything and see the vibe and whatever. And even when like Liverpool won, like you look on the comments and it's like, well, why did you start Oxlade-Chamberlain? Well, that was a bad choice. And what, Oxlade-Chamberlain stealing away? You just seen someone say, and I was literally about to type out a reply to it and I never in the end. But it's just stuff like that where people are never satisfied, like, because we're not buying players and whatever else. But I'm sure if we needed them, Klopp would. And that's the thing, he knows the squad better than anyone else. So let's get on to the third one. And obviously we've the Salah goal, and it was just the icing on the cake, wasn't it? Like 15 minutes to go, and he comes to the edge of the box, and you just know he's gonna rifle it top corner. And I think it was just to keep that that record going of opening day goals. I think that's 5 in a row now, and that's another a record breaker, another record broke by Mo Salah. Yeah. And it's just, he's an absolute machine, isn't he?
Oh, I don't know what else we can say about it, mate. I really don't. It baffles me how fucking good this fucking footballer is. It's crazy. And I'm so fucking happy that he plays for Liverpool. So happy.
Yeah, he's just, honestly, he just seems to get better in a way. Like, we're so lucky to have him. I just think it's one of them. Like, I think we've said it for a while that we're only probably appreciate him when he leaves, which is a shame, because I don't think, well, rival fans definitely don't see how good he is. I mean, even with the numbers he's been putting up in there.
He knows how good he is. That fucking little video went viral on TikTok, didn't it, when he was doing some green screen thing, and someone shouted in the background, "I've got you in my fantasy team." Well, and he went, "Well, yeah, so you should, because I get you the most points every year." He knows how fucking good he is. And do you know what? Fine, it's a bit like Bobby Firmino. Let people underappreciate him, because that means no one's going to come knocking on the door for him. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And we know it's not happening now, because Real Madrid can't fucking afford him, because they're in fucking shit. Barcelona are in the fucking shit, and PSG are playing a fucking video game that hasn't even been invented yet. So they don't even fucking need Salah either. So it's crazy. So I'm just fucking glad he's still with us. And do you know what? Again, his performance yesterday was like, I need to hit the ground running, because I want that fucking golden boot back. And I love that about him, because he knows Salah gets a golden boot, we're in a shout of finishing in the top four, and also a chance for winning the league. So he knows by him being selfish like that, it's going to push us up that fucking table, which is amazing. I'm all for him being selfish like that. But again, there was an instance yesterday which you don't usually see from Salah. I was expecting him to fucking clock it with his left foot into that far corner, and he tried to square it, and I was like, I didn't want to shout at him, because I thought, I've been asking you to do that, and when you do it, I don't need you to do it. And so again, brilliant. If we can see that, more of that from Mo, fantastic. And he deserved man of the match yesterday, which he did get.
Yeah, I mean, one goal and two assists, and I think, that moment was very bizarre, because he's like I said, you're just expecting to open up his body and curl that top corner, and he probably would have, because he was in that funk, wasn't he, where he probably would have just banged that top corner and we'd have banged 4-0. But I think someone put a tweet up saying, oh, maybe he was trying to set up Mane, because I think Mane scored in like the last three opening days or something like that. I don't know if he was trying to get him on board with the opening day goal scoring consecutively. But it was just nice, because I think at 2-0, it's a very risky scoreline, isn't it? I mean, that's probably cliche Mick coming back out, but if they would have got one, last 5 minutes would have been squeaky bum time, wouldn't it? We would have been like, fucking hell, let's get Konate on, just fucking big bastard at the back to head stuff away. But well, yeah, it just kind of settled everyone down, didn't it?
It did settle everyone down, mate. And, you know, the stars must be aligned, because we're talking there about the last five. We're talking about keeping a clean sheet. And look who's just joined in the comments. Tomo, the real fat Alisson. So now we need to talk about Alisson and his fucking Napoli-esque save. So, mate, fuck me, what a save that was. Yeah. And then another one after when he palmed it away. Jesus Christ. I thought that was it. We've conceded. But
As soon as it went in, I was like, it's a goal. It's like, it's too close for him to save that. But he's just, great save. And then to get up that quick and the way he slapped it at the end just made me chuckle. I was watching it in the pub, just a proper, like, get away. But yeah, it's just that, like, have it, like we said with Van Dijk, it's a presence. But having Alisson there is also, because he's a massive bastard, but he's also proper agile. He's like a cat, and he's just like, yeah, there was times where his distribution was on point as well. Like, I remember a raking ball from like a half volley to Jota in like the second half, or might have been the
defensive attack straight away, wasn't it?
It's stuff like that maybe he hasn't had the confidence maybe to do as much, but. Because I think last year, maybe, obviously, he lost his dad and whatever else, so couldn't expect anything from him, really. The fact that he was still playing, and the fact that he scored that goal against West Brom was a miracle. But he's got that ability to play out with his feet, and I think maybe, hopefully, we see more of a return to that this year. But, yeah, let's have a look through the rest of the comments. We've got John in with another comment. Love Mo, but what you guys think about what his agent put out yesterday? Do you see that? That was like a proper cryptic tweet. I can't even remember what it said. I mean, John might be able to remember.
I hope they're watching.
Oh, that was it. Like that. He seems to always do that, doesn't he? Even when like the Salah contract talks were going on, I think it was he was putting out little. I think he put like he tweeted a dot or something, and it's like, what are you doing? Like, Salah just needs to text them and go.
Yeah, his agent is a bit of a blurt, isn't he? He is a bit of a blurt. I mean, a lot of agents who have high profile players are like that. They've got that fucking egotistical, haven't they? I mean, Keir Jurabjian's one of the biggest fucking tools in terms of agents I've ever seen in my life, especially over the Coutinho stuff. But yeah, I just think it's one of the things, because we've not offered him a new deal yet, but which we will. I just think it's being built right now. I just think it's happening. I don't know if it means anything else. I don't know, but I do think Mo will get offered a new deal from Liverpool. I do think he will.
Yeah, and I think you said before, like, even Thiago didn't play yesterday, but Hendo wasn't even in the squad yesterday. So that's just crazy that those two weren't even involved, and we still did really well in that first game. But I think Klopp said about Hendo, didn't he? I think it was 2 days ago, that it looks like he said it will get sorted. So that's a promising sign, isn't it? That obviously this whole shit with Hendo about his contract and whatever over the last couple of weeks has been flying around. Hopefully that will get sorted, because the longer that lingers on, it's just, yeah, it's not good, is it? That you don't want your talisman to be not signing a new contract, even if he is 31, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, do you know what, mate, as well, we've seen it in the past, haven't you? When it goes on a contract talk and it goes on longer than it needs to, and it's also calmed down in terms of if Hendo's going to another club, and if Salah's going to the club, there's none of that talk. There's usually a fucking dickhead journo out there that will fucking piss up a story to cause drama. Usually it's leaked by an agent or a friend of an agent or something like that to cause the unrest, which will cause the fucking talk to carry out. There's been none of that, which is why I'm very, very confident Henderson will not leave and Salah won't leave. So for that doesn't keep me up at night. Absolutely fine.
Yeah, I mean, because Van Dijk signed his, Trent's got his, Alisson, Fabinho. Obviously, they're just staggering them over a number of weeks. So if Hendo can get the next one, then that'll just be like, I'll be happy. I'll be a happy man. And then we're sort of ready for the season. And hopefully, because obviously we've got Burnley on. I might as well talk about Burnley a little bit. We've got Burnley on Saturday, having an early kickoff. So I don't know whether Hendo and Thiago will be back. I'm assuming they will be back in the squad for that one.
I'm assuming they will be.
They want to get them ready, won't they, for the following week against Chelsea? Because that's when we need them, those two back in the midfield, and we need that, hopefully, Hendo, Thiago and Fab midfield for the Chelsea game. If we've got used the Burnley game as like a warm-up game for that, then we'll be sorted.
Of course, mate. But that's obviously, I know that there's no disrespect to Burnley at all, you'd think without Hendo and Thiago, we've still got a good enough team to beat Burnley, and I think that's what it'll be. I think we might, if you know the game goes the way it should do for us, you know, you might see Hendo and Thiago for the last 30, last 20, last 10, just to give them a bit of a run out, and then they'll start against Chelsea. I firmly believe that. I don't see Burnley getting a result at Anfield the same way they got last season. I just don't see that happening, because we're a completely different side. Mentality's changed. That performance proves that. But sticking with the Norwich result, I just think the whole positivity around it was great. I thought Van Dijk's comments after the game were great. I really, really loved that. And I think he was so happy to be back, Van Dijk. You know, I love that. And Klopp was happy the way the squad had played and performed. And Alisson had come out and spoke as well. There was quite a funny thing. I was sat with Vinny watching the game, and he said, and I'm not bringing us to dog Vinny, but he brought up a really, really good point. So he was saying about Alisson saying, everyone's starting to come back now. Joe Gomez is coming back and Van Dijk's back and all that sort of stuff. And then he threw Robbo in at the end and he said, can't wait to have Robbo back. And Vinny was like, that's quite disrespectful to Tsimikas, that. And I said to him, well, I get, at first I was like, why are you calling Alisson a prick? What are you going on about? But I saw Vinny's point of view eventually, because I think he was right, because Kostas, I think, had a very, very good game. He had a couple of mistakes, but I was very, very pleased with him. I just thought, yeah, fair play to Tsimikas. I thought that was a nice display, considering the pressure he's under. So I think everyone can relax about left-back now until Robbo comes back, can't they?
Yeah, I think there was one time with that Rashica had him on toast, and I was like, oh, fucking hell. But yeah. And then there was one another time where he took a ball down over Alisson's head, dead calmly, but then gave it away like 4 seconds later, and Milner went up to him, slapped him in the face. Yeah. Get him, Millie. But he's done well, didn't he? Like, got stuck in, always willing runner. I think that's what you need. I think the more that he watches Andy Robbo, I think that he's had a lot of time to do that. Let's not get it wrong, where he's been injured and whatever. He's had a lot of time to sit there and go, this fella's amazing. And that's what I need to replicate that as best I can with the ability I've got to get in the team. And I think he's shown that a little bit in the Norwich game. And obviously we're going to see him for, I think Robbo will be back for the Leeds game only after the international break. So he's got at least another two games to kind of show his worth. But I think he's on the right track, isn't he, in terms of that?
Oh, 100%, mate. And let's keep it going. But again, fair play to Kostas for stepping in and putting a performance like he did, mate. So yeah, really, really pleased with it. And the way United played, again, Leeds just bent over and just said, just shove it up. It's fine. Just go in dry. It's fine. We're not asked. United will get a nice big excitement. But then they got the same big-headed excitement when they beat Chelsea at the same time. They batter Chelsea on the opening day and it went fucking downhill after that. So let's not get too excited for Manchester United and stuff like that. But big result today with City dropping points. That's a huge result. Already, congratulations to Spurs and Nuno for doing that. Who needs Harry Kane, fucking hell? But that's massive for us, because that gives you, again, what goes back to the positivity after tonight. I'm even more excited for the season now, because that after one game, we're already ahead of City, which is, you think if you finish ahead of City, you're going to win the league. So
exactly. And I think even like sticking with the City, we might as well have a chat about it. Like the first 10-15 minutes, I was thinking, fucking hell, these are very good. And obviously they've got so many good players. And you look at the bench and it's like nearly 400 mils worth of talent. And you're like, they've got De Bruyne and Rodri and just like players that can just change a game in the blink of an eye. And it's like, yeah, Spurs getting that result, but they deserved it, didn't they? Like the fans back in the stadium give them that, which it's going to be a boost for everyone after a year without having them. It's going to be an extra boost. Like everyone's going to be proper up for it. So I just can't wait for Burnley now to get back in the ground. And it's going to be amazing, isn't it?
It is, mate. It's going to be fucking unreal. I can't fucking wait. And credit to the way Norwich put on a bit of a show yesterday. The pre-match build up and the fans were loud from start to finish, where sometimes you can get a crowd that's great for the first 15 and then good all right for the last 15 and then the middle it goes a bit quiet, but from start to finish yesterday the crowd noise was fantastic, and it just shows that everyone was dead excited to come back. I was just missing Delia at half time going, the best football supporters in the world, where are you? So I was just waiting for that, but we didn't get that, so it's a bit good.
Let's be having you.
Yeah, let's be having you. But yeah, no, mate, Burnley game's going to be exciting, because again, if we can capitalise at the early kickoff and put the pressure on the rest of the teams around the league, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pick up on that comment as well that Amida Red put in. He's put refs are a lot better this year. I just want to say I thought that the way the game flowed, and a number of games have flowed over the weekend, not just the Norwich game. I thought there was a number of Delia saving herself for Christmas Day. Yeah, that is true. And Tomo's absolutely spot on. We do deserve to we all Burnley one for last season. Yeah. I just want to say that I think the way the game's flowed already, I think they've been a lot better, in terms of, like you said about the Pukki foul Well, was it a foul? Was it a foul before we scored our first goal? I think last season
would have been given last year, wouldn't it?
Would have been given. You know what I mean? And I think the Euros has played a really big part on the league and the influence of. I know the PGML have had a lot of training over the summer, of what not to do and what to do. So that, you know, it's been a big influence the Euros, mate. And I think, you know, a nice weekend, no controversial incidents. We haven't spoken about VAR once. Whereas last season, first weekend, it's all everyone talked about because there was fuck up. So, you know, fair play. Let's crack on. And yeah, it's a good step going forward.
Yeah, and I think even on that game tonight with the City game, there was a lot of fouls where someone's went over. I think even Grealish fouled someone and he fell over and he had the cheek to go, get up, lad. I was like, do you not know what you do 48 times a game, fall over? I mean, I know he does get fouled a lot, but he does go over easily. So it's like, fucking hell, the pot calling the kettle black there. Yeah, there we go. He's on it. But, love that. Yeah. Dan just put on another comment there about it. Like, fans being back is horrible for City, creates chaos and takes away an element which is vital to how they play. I think it's no coincidence that they did so well last year with no fans, is it? Because they're more a robotic type team. They don't rely on an atmosphere like a Liverpool do. So that's going to obviously boost us immensely.
Dan said that quite a bit, you know. And Dan has a lot of good comments. And Dan has said that quite often. And he's absolutely spot on. They shit themselves when they go away from home. But Tottenham's a public ground. They haven't won in that stadium yet, have they? So it's quite funny.
Long may that continue. But who else has put a comment in there? Yeah, 1892 Reds podcast. Nice ones for jumping in, lads. In all the 10 games, not one draw on any game also.
Didn't notice that. It's good.
That's what we want. But we'll leave it there when we'll have a little chat about a recent video about that fella on the book behind Jay. Jay's new video, Copyright Origins. Well, I'll just keep talking for a second. There we go.
I can breathe right now.
Yeah. Do you work then?
I do. My missus says I don't snore anymore.
Take it away with you with the new vid.
Fucking hell. Yes, so obviously we have just announced, we've recently launched the Robbie Fowler Copyright Origins episode 2. So hopefully a few of you guys have seen it already. I know a few of you have, and it's much appreciative that you have watched it. I put a lot of fucking time and effort into it. I took the feedback that I got from the Patrick Berger one and just made this one slightly better. But again, it is a slog putting them together, but I do enjoy it. And I do enjoy when people are leaving me comments in the comment section on YouTube, because it's great feedback and I just love seeing it. And I was at a wedding on Thursday night and I'm just sat there, and then all of a sudden I'm getting like notifications saying love this. I'm like, who the fuck's saying love this and getting loads of likes for it? And I clicked and it said, that was Thursday night, wasn't it? It was just a pair of eyes. Yeah. When Robbie Fowler had seen it, because it was coming soon. And then on Friday, he'd watched it. So for Robbie Fowler to watch it is just fucking outrageous. So you never know what types of conversations can come from that. So fingers crossed on that one. If anybody's, again, some of you guys in the comments, Tomo, thanks very much, mate. Appreciate that. 1892 saying well done as well. Thank you very much, boys. And Yuki as well, really great job. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. We're trying to do something different because there's a lot of YouTube content out there for Liverpool supporters. We're just trying to give you that something different. But also as well, it's always good to get you in the comments to let me know who you would like to see for episode 3. And the real is, I'll always announce the next episode once the video hits 1,000 views. So if you want to know who episode 3 is, share away to your friends, to family, your dogs, cats, everybody, and get those views up and all the comments in, and I'll let you know who's episode 3. But also, there's a couple of candidates for episode 3. I've not fully decided. If someone wants to throw in a curveball of a next candidate for episode 3, let me know in the comments and I will take it into consideration, because it might be someone I haven't thought of yet. But yeah, going off topic a little bit, but thank you very much for supporting me and my projects with Robbie Fowler. I appreciate it.
Well, you know what? You've done well. You've put out 2 videos and both of them have seen it and watched it and liked it. That's like, could you ever imagine that when you first started getting into the black hole when you start putting these videos together and you're like, honestly, oh, no, what have I put myself into here?
I swear to God, mate, it takes over my fucking life putting them videos together. Really, honestly, I underestimated how much fucking work that goes into it, especially when you know both players anyway, because they're my two favourite players of all time. So I knew a lot about them anyway, but there's still a lot of things you don't know. So, like, you're reading both books again. You know, you're doing your research on Patrick Berg, and it does take a fucking ace to write that script and then get all the images and the videos and ask for permission and all that sort of shit and then put it all together. So it is a slog, but I love it and I enjoy doing it. And it's great when everyone compliments me on it and it shows that they're not shit not appalling. So it's great. It's nice. I appreciate it. But again, if there's anything I can do to improve, there's always a suggestion. Like someone suggested putting background music on. So I did that for the Robbie Fowler one. So, and I think it does. It works quite well. So yeah, it's always good fun. It's good fun. So 892 said, let's do David and Gog. No problem. That'll probably be about a 5-minute video, so I can bash that out for you, boys. That's not a problem. Yeah. Do the corner by Iago Aspas. Yeah, absolutely. That'll be an hour's worth of video. That, because that'll be an hour's fucking rant. That's what that'll be.
David and Gog's would be Hayes' goal against Man United. Hayes' goal against Arsenal. Exactly. The end.
It's true. I will be doing a bit of a giveaway as well, off the back of these as well. I'm going to be giving away to 10 lucky people. We'll be getting a crew wallpaper for your mobile phone or the home kit if you want one, and also as well the Robbie Fowler 1993 away shirt as well. I will do you a kit wallpaper with your name and number, so just let me know which one you want. I'm going to be doing a bit of a giveaway for that. I'll do that for 10 people as well, very, very soon. So keep your eye out on the Twitter for that, because I gave away some burger ones for when Burger signed, and they went down well. And people asked me, would they do personalized ones? And I said, I will. So yeah, we'll do that very, very soon. And then Andre said, the Iago asked when I can do that on my tea break. Absolutely, I could. Igor Biscan from Tomo from 0-0. That's not a bad shout, that, mate. Actually, not a bad shout, because I've still got the footage of Igor Biscan in the changing room in Istanbul with his cock out. So yeah, so I've still got that footage. So we could do that.
Oh, what a guy! Well, I don't even know who number three is yet, because I mean, I haven't spoken to Jay yet about it, but I'm sure I'll find out. I mean, if he's decided, he might not have. But yeah, so.
Who would you like to see, Mick? Who would you like to see?
There's a few. I would like to see. I think Jamie Redknapp's an outside shout, because I think maybe obviously his injuries and whatever, and he didn't quite hit the heights, but he was a favourite of mine when I was growing up. 1892, just put one there, Michael Owen. I think see, that one's got to be done by you, especially. Mate, I don't know if it'd be 3 or 7 or 10, yeah, but it'll be there, won't it, at some
Michael
point.
Michael Owen is a really good shout. Now, I was tempted to do Michael Owen for number two. I really, really was. Because I thought I'm being a bit selfish doing my two favourite players for the first two episodes. But Michael Owen is a very, very, very good shout because of the hero to villains thing. I am very pro Michael Owen in terms of what he did for Liverpool. I've got over the United shit now. I will put that across in the video when I do it. But yeah, that would be very, very interesting. And if that would be quite funny if I could turn some people's opinions on Michael Owen, that'd be pretty cool. But I like that shout. That's going in the suggestion jar, Michael Owen. I am going to suggest that. I like that one.
Well, just from, I mean, obviously I grew up watching Michael Owen and he was amazing, but just for me, when I do those, you know, filthy goals of the day on Twitter, which just sometimes take over my life trying to find a fucking new one that hasn't been posted yet. When you watch back all the goals that he scored, my God, he was just unbelievable. He really was. He was just an absolute sensation. It was, mate.
And do you know what? It's a shame because it's a generational thing as well. There's a lot of people that didn't grow up, you know, knowing about Michael, or sorry, watching Michael Owen as we did, and they only see him in the latter stage in the United shirt, and it's the whole, well, you know, I'm just going to jump on that bandwagon. So it'd be nice to put that together and try and people watch it and go, do you know what, actually, in hindsight, he fucking did more for Liverpool than he's done against him, regardless of what he does in the punditry now. Forget that shit. But yeah.
Oh, where's Jay gone? He's left me on my own. But let's have a look at some of the other shouts anyway. So we've got Torres. Oh, he's back.
Go on, carry on. What else have we got?
I was just going to go through some of the comments that some people put.
Let's have a chat. Torres.
Yash has put Alonso. John Moore, Heskey. You know what? That's a great shout.
That's
you know?
A good shout. Because, that's a really good like, shout.
The Owen thing. I think that's there's a really generation of people who think Heskey was shit.
And I there think, is, isn't there? Strange.
And
that.
I think it's kind of, in my mind anyway, it's loosely linked to KSI on YouTube. When he used to do videos, he'd like scream Heskey, or like he'd kind of insinuate that Heskey was like a useless striker. Because I mean, I used to watch his videos like back in the day a little bit, and I think it's kind of from that a little bit that, or maybe like with maybe that the younger people maybe just didn't see him, maybe just saw a little bit. But he was actually like a really top player. Obviously, he was more than the Firmino, like holding up play and letting other people around him do score the goals. But he did score his fair share, and I think Heskey-Owen partnership was quality.
Well, that's it. I mean, I touched on that in the Robbie Fowler documentary, didn't I? You know, that was one of the reasons why Elie was trying to boot Fowler out, just because he had that preference of Heskey and Owen. And then Ahmed Reza said that he did so much work off the ball, which, you know, he was always the route one Vesterbell to Heskey to nod it down to a Fowler or an Owen or a Littman. And so, yeah, Heskey would be a really good one, to be fair. I like that. What else have we got as well? So Tomo's put, why are we even talking about this? It has to be Stevie G. The problem I've got with Stevie G, though, Tom, all right, is because the video would probably be about 2 hours long, and everybody knows about Stevie G's story. Everybody knows about it. So I don't know if it would be. I mean, it might be eventually. I might do it eventually, but I think right now there's other stories to tell. I think because everyone knows about Stevie G, everyone loves Stevie G. You know, everyone can tell his career. Heaven forbid I might miss something. And think, oh, you didn't put that in, you didn't talk about that, you know. So I'd have to think about that one, Tom, to be fair. But I think that'll be down the line.
Inevitably, you'd have to condense that, because, like you said, it would be too long. You'd have to condense it
because that's a 17-year career.
Five was it?
Fowler was 45 minutes.
If you're getting over an hour and like anything over like an hour and 15.
Yeah, I doubt people watch it, to be fair. I mean, there's some hardcore people that support in these videos, which I love. And if they want it, I'll give it them. Yeah, I really will. Ahmed Reza put it, if you did an Owen one, you'd have to censor part, just have a black screen for a while. I think he definitely on about the Owen when he went down to United. I have asked him, but I do know which one he was on about. What about Coach Phil Thompson? Yeah, I mean, definitely. I have thought about doing a player from yesteryear, definitely doing a legend one. The one of the hardest things about doing a player from back then is you've not got a lot of other footage. Do you know what I mean? Because the way things were documented. So, you know, there's lots of images about Tomo. There's footage about his goals, but there isn't, like, you know, very good stuff to get. So you might be doing the player a disservice. But what I might do, if we put like a poll up, Mick, we'll put a four players up from the 70s, 60s, 70s, and we'll just have a vote of the ones that I can get some decent stuff on and make it enjoyable. Because the main thing is I want to make sure that it's enjoyable for you guys. But Thompson's a great shout, because we can definitely go into the coaching side of things, because he was fucking brilliant as an assistant manager at Liverpool. He held the fort while Julio was ill, God bless him. So yeah, he did a good job. And Tomo was just funny since he left the club and he was at Sky Sports. So I think we could get away with Tomo more as a coach, definitely. So I think that'd be good. John Moore said, I loved Heskey, one of my favourite players. So that's another good vote there. I played football for 4 years. Emil Heskey's cousin, Craig. Honestly, Emil's excellent. Right, so now what you need to do is put us in touch with Craig so we can speak to him.
yeah, there you go.
And then Dan's put said, yeah, KSI, but Capello bring him into a shit and boring England team. Yeah, I agree with that, mate. Yeah, too. Okay, do it as a number eight then. So do you mean like, yeah. Tomo, do you mean like... okay, do it as episode eight. Is that what he meant? Yeah. Right, okay, fair enough. Yash has put Stevie G, but dream come true for Mick and Jay and the Cop-Out podcast followers. Okay. Well, my dreams come true with Berger and Fowler, mate. And the ultimate hat trick would be Michael Owen if he sees the documentary as well. But yeah, Stevie G, we've had two votes for there as well. Titi Kamara, that's not a bad shout. Not a bad shout to put together. Lucas has been spoken about.
Lucas.
We had a long conversation about Lucas, of what point to do. Lucas would be a very, very good shout. I'm loving these suggestions. I'm loving these. Stevie G will get done, no doubt. We'd have to think about how long that one will be. But I love in Lucas shout. I think Heskey's up there. Someone mentioned Sammy Hippier the other week. I think Sammy Ippi was a really, really good shout. You know, I'm loving that sort. So even someone said McAtee as well. McAtee, you know, I love McAtee, don't get me wrong. See you later, boys. Take care of yourselves.
Nice one, fellas. I think like a Heskey or a Lucas would be good because they were maybe underappreciated, especially Lucas, the fact that he came to the club as like a box-to-box midfielder. And then he was kind of, he was written off, weren't he? Completely. I think even myself watching him going, I don't think he's quite going to cut it here. Then ends
with
up
with his Hansen haircut.
Proper Mbopping down the wing.
Down the pitch,
The goal against Havant and Waterlooville, and I think he had to change what his whole style, didn't he? To just be a defensive mid. And I remember like games against City where he was absolutely dominating Yaya Toure, and I was thinking this fella's an absolute beast. So I think that one would be, that's like a Hendo story where he came and was wrote off and then he kind of flourished and turned into one of our favourites. So that would be definitely a good little story.
Yeah, I like that one. Be a nice story to tell that. Oh, John's was put a belter. Danny Agger. That's a fucking great shout.
Should we just keep doing this all night just so you can
it's just giving me names like Didi Amand, do you know what I mean? Didi Amand is, and again, there's another great shout. He drinks, he smokes pot, and he fucking wins us a European Cup. So yeah, that'd be fucking brilliant, that one. So Fat Allison has said loved Owen, but if he has to come on as a special guest, swerve him with BT Sport, anything to go by. I would never ever swerve Michael Owen wanting to come on this podcast. We said to Mick, didn't we, like the three people that would for me it'd be Fowler, Berger and Owen. Getting them on the podcast, so I wouldn't swerve him.
Definitely not. I think he was just a terrific footballer. When he's obviously a bit of a boring bastard when he's on commentary. I think we can all admit, fucking hell. It's like saying if they have a shot, they might score, and just like just shut up, Michael. Fucking hell. Just saying dead boring stuff. Risa, as a footballer, you can't.
Didn't think of Risa. Risa didn't cross my mind. That's another fucking good shout. Another good shout.
Another bargain.
Yeah, I could do this all night. It's fucking brilliant, mate. We've done 45 minutes. Let these people go home.
Yeah,
sorry, mate.
No, it's just nice little 20 minutes there on ideas for the next video.
It's fucking. I appreciate it, boys and girls. I really, really do, because, like I said, the your feedback is important of who you are. I'm not going to fucking put a video together for a player you're not going to want to listen to or talk about or hear me talking about and put it together. So it's got to be someone who you're into. But some great suggestions there. And I really, really appreciate it. But again, thank you so much for what you've done so far in terms of Robbie Fowler thing. If you've not watched it yet, please watch it. Please share it. Please retweet it. Say how fucking good it is and how awesome Jay is at putting these fucking videos together. Yeah, sorry.
That's what I was going to end it. I was just going to say, go and give that a watch. Obviously, we've just gave it a nice little bit of time there. So if you haven't seen it, go and do it. And yeah, we'll be back. Fucking hell, Ant's coming with Darren Potter. Oh my God. What a shout that is. Fucking hell.
Two shouts for Dale as well.
Bernard Diomed. He's episode three.
Diomed's a fucking World Cup winner. Why wouldn't you do that?
I'm getting out of here because these comments are just going to keep coming in and I'm going to want to keep talking about them. So
I do. Love everybody to death.
Get out of here. Yeah, if you haven't gone and watched it, go and do that. We'll be back. Very soon. Burnley's on Saturday, so hopefully Thursday or Friday night we'll do a little preview of that, and then straight after for the hopefully another Boss Liverpool win. But nice one for watching again, and if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, nice one for listening. Drop us a like and a subscribe on the video if you liked it, and we'll see you all again next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.